Good morning. Thank you so much for joining me. Y'all know that this subject is near and dear to my heart. I'm talking about menopause. Dr. Stephanie Falpian joins me, director of the Mayo Clinic Women's Health Clinic and the Office of Women's Health. She's written a book called The Menopause Solution, A Doctor's Guide to Relieving Hot Flashes, Enjoying Better Sex, Sleeping Well, Controlling Your Weight, and Being Happy. Oh my goodness. Happiness sometimes does not go with menopause. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Well, first of all, tell us what menopause is and, you know, why do we have menopause?
Well, who knows why we have menopause, but it signals the end of reproductive reproductive lifespan. Mm-hmm. So we have a limited number of ovarian follicles or eggs mm-hmm. when we're born, and those slowly peter out over time. And around the age of 51, your ovaries kind of give up the last whiff of functioning.
Wow.
So we know that this happens to 100% of us if mm-hmm. we live that long.
Mm-hmm.
And going back in time, you know, this whole menopause thing is a relatively new phenomenon because we didn't live past the age of 50 to 51 in 1900. So we've only been experiencing living parts of our lives in menopause since then.
Mm-hmm.
And now women are looking at living 40 to 50% of their lifespan after menopause.
Oh, yeah. My grandmother's 89. So
exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You say by the year 2020, the number of women who will be older than 55 is estimated to be 46 million.
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
There's a lot of menopausal women out there.
I'm telling you, boy, it's going to be a lot of grief.
Well, that's why we need to figure out what to do about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk about some of the signs and symptoms.
Well, so some women are lucky and really have their last menstrual period and never have a single mm-hmm. hot flash, but let me tell you, that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
75 to 80% of us are going to have hot flashes and night sweats, and they may not be really, really bothersome for everybody, but most of us are going to have those.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also trouble sleeping, trouble thinking, concentrating. There's
yes.
that irritating weight gain. There is mood stuff like irritability and feelings of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of stuff, even joint aches. Who knew that joint aches were a symptom of menopause?
Right, right. But the body goes through so much during menopause that we really don't know. We just think, oh, menopause, and we don't recognize it's a physiology, you know, it's a biological thing.
It really is. And some of the pieces are difficult to tease apart between aging and menopause, like
mm-hmm.
the weight part.
Mm-hmm.
That can be partly aging itself and partly menopause. But all those other things that we talked about really are signs of losing estrogen.
Yeah, yeah. So like I was reading some of the, you know, the live testimonies in here, hilarious, not really funny, but I could relate to them. But one lady was saying that she didn't go into menopause till 51. She was still having her cycles in her 60s, I believe. And the doctor kept saying, "You're still menstruating?" She's like, "Yeah." And he would say, "Okay, somebody had to be on the top end to get the average." But so what is the age range and when do you start perimenopause? A lot of women start perimenopause in their 30s now. This thing is getting earlier and earlier.
Well, I hope menopause isn't getting earlier and earlier.
Yeah,
that would be
either.
A real problem.
That
We'd
would
have
be a
way
bummer.
More than 46 million women then. But the average age, anything after the age of 45 is
mm-hmm.
considered normal.
Mm-hmm.
95% of us have gone through by 55, 56 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Average is about 51 years of
okay.
age. But some of us do go through early, and about 1% of people, it will happen before the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that perimenopausal time frame is when you haven't quite gone 12 months without a period and you're maybe starting to skip a period
mm-hmm,
or two,
mm-hmm.
that can be in your mid to late 40s often,
okay.
and it can go on for a period of years.
Mm-hmm.
It can last a little bit longer than women think that it does, where you're kind of leading up to that menopausal transition. And you might have a couple of months where everything's fine and you're menstruating regularly and you're not having symptoms, and then you might miss a period for a month or two and have hot
yeah.
flashes, night sweats, you can't sleep,
mm-hmm.
you can't concentrate, and then everything kicks back in again. So I tell women that ovaries don't turn off like a light switch. They often flicker and flutter a little
yeah.
bit as you get to the end of the reproductive lifespan and when you go through menopause. So they sputter a bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We had a dear friend who, she had night sweats so bad, she would have to get up and change her sheets in the middle. She had it horribly. And I, you know, I said, is it diet? I mean, during that time, this was maybe 20 years ago, you know, people were not really talking about it then, but what do you do about the sweats, the hot flashes?
Yeah, they can be quite miserable, actually. So we can start with simple things. So if they're mild, if you're really not having a severe problem with it, things like dressing in layers, using a fan, trying to avoid things that trigger your hot flashes, like maybe a caffeinated beverage or smoking a cigarette, which we shouldn't be doing anyway.
Certain foods.
Alcohol. Yeah, spicy foods can trigger it. Even strong emotions or anxiety, stress can trigger it too, so modifying some of that. But for many women, that's really just honestly not enough. And we now know that for those women who are having moderately severe hot flashes, who are in their 50s and within 10 years of menopause, that hormone therapy, the benefits still outweigh the risk for most of these women. And it's very effective.
Okay. So, you know, for me, I had a hysterectomy at 40. And the doctor didn't really talk to me about hot flashes. So when I had my first hot flash, I didn't know what was going on. I called my mom and I was like, oh my God, Mom, I feel like I'm on fire. I don't know what's going on. I'm sweating and I can't breathe. And she was like, fool, you're having a hot flash.
Oh, that's so rough. That's awful. And to go through at a young age, it's a little tough. So when you have a surgical menopause or when those ovaries are removed surgically, you're not going through that gentle transition that lasts for years. It happens literally with the surgery. So one day you're premenopausal and the next day you're postmenopausal. And for young women like you were, it's especially important that you actually do get hormone therapy because we know your risk of long-term health consequences like heart disease and dementia can be higher if you don't get hormone therapy until the natural age of menopause.
Yes, because let me tell you, I felt like I was losing my mind. I couldn't remember things, and this is what I do for a living. So I was having to write things down where I didn't used to have to write things down. I would forget things in the middle of an interview. I mean, I went through it hard, and it was like a Mack truck hit me. And I was like, I called my doctor. I said, why didn't you tell me?
Exactly. And that's why we wrote this book, is because nobody gives women information right around this menopausal transition. And it's really frustrating when it hits you like a Mack truck.
It definitely hit me like a Mack truck. I think one of the other things that women talk about, and, you know, women, we always talk about our stuff, is sleep. A lot of women don't sleep during this time.
That's right. And so, okay, one of the first signs of coming into the menopausal transition is just insomnia. Can't get to sleep, wake up in the middle of the night, or wake up early in the morning, and not necessarily with night sweats. So insomnia is a big sign that you might be coming into menopause.
Yeah.
Then you got the night sweat thing around the menopausal transition. But it's also important to know that as women, after menopause, we tend to get more serious sleep disorders like obstructive sleep apnea. That's where you stop breathing in the middle of the night. It might come along with some snoring, but sometimes women aren't aware that they snore at night. But that can really lead to a higher risk of heart disease and other things. So if women are waking up in the morning feeling like they've done battle all night and they feel like they just haven't gotten any sleep, it's really important to get that checked out to make sure it's not something more serious.
Absolutely. And get some sleep, because we're already grumpy.
You
go through
really
menopause.
Tough. You can't function during the day if you're not sleeping.
Absolutely. You know, and another thing is, and I don't know how to describe it, but you talk about it in the book, and I always call it feeling wonky. I would just feel out of sorts, just wonky. And, you know, my mom was like, what does that mean? Because she went through like a normal menopause and I went through a different menopause. And I said, I don't know how to describe that, but I think you address it in the book.
Well, I think there are many things that women describe. I've heard brain fog.
Yes.
I've heard just feeling irritable and anxious. So I think what you're trying to say, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that feeling of you just don't feel like your brain is together.
Yeah, I didn't feel right. I felt
off balance.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, so a lot of women describe that, and they have trouble putting that into words, but I've heard many women say what you just said. So I feel wonky, or I don't feel like I'm myself, or, you know, it's like you cry at all the Hallmark commercials, or you can't think, and you're supposed to be in a boardroom running a meeting, and you can't come up with the word you wanted to say. So it just throws you off your game.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're at Walmart crying in the cart section like me.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's something. And now, you know, when you see women, you're talking to them and they break out in a sweat. And you know, they really don't know what to do. Oh, I'm having a private summer. It's not so private, honey. Everybody sees it. I mean, just break out in the sweat. So you give some tips in here on how to handle when you just have that sudden hot flash.
Yeah, so some of the simple things that women could do, again, dressing in layers, using a fan, that sort of thing. We know that maintaining your weight at a healthy weight might actually help. And while exercise can help with everything else under the sun, it probably isn't going to do a whole heck of a lot for hot flashes, unfortunately.
No.
So there are some lifestyle things that seem to work, but you know, none of them are the end-all, be-all solution for that. Mm-hmm. So again, I would urge women, if you've done all the simple things that you know how to do, it's probably time to ask for some help from your provider.
And let me tell you, I ended up because, let me see, I had no energy. I couldn't think. My brain was just toast. I got my temper under control, you know, that mood thing under control. But I had no energy. And I was like, I have a 500% schedule and I have like 5% energy. And so I went and talked to my doctor about it. We did bioidenticals. And when I tell you that changed my life, that changed my life.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and we can talk about the bioidentical stuff too, but hormone therapy can be absolutely life-changing for women who are kind of turned upside down by menopause. There is no reason to be miserable for a long period of time during menopause because we now have so many treatment options that are available for women, and we're now down to trying to individualize that better between women, so it's no longer, oh, you get the same standard prescription as everybody else.
Right.
We really try to tailor that to the person now.
Because I know I've had a patch, I've had lotions, you know, the creams.
Right.
And then I went to bioidentical, and it was phenomenal. So there's all these different hormone therapies, and you need to do your research, right?
You do need to do your research, and we try to stay with, so what bioidentical means, is that means it's chemically, structurally the same as what your body used to make, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's compounded at a compounding pharmacy. We now have bioidentical hormones available that are FDA approved and in your local pharmacy. So we have lots more options available for women in a wide variety of doses and dosing options, dosing formulations. So as you said, patches, gels, sprays, creams, rings. We have many ways of delivering hormone therapy now and at many different doses. So we can almost always find something that works for an individual woman if hormone therapy is needed.
Right, right. Now, I know, you know, before I actually went to hormone therapy, I talked to a naturopath and she was telling me about, you know, over-the-counter stuff, black cohosh, some other stuff, take some calcium. Calcium really helped me, though, I got to admit. Calcium kind of helped with some things. But she was talking about all the natural things. So what are some of the natural things that we may want to start with?
Well, unfortunately, none of the over-the-counter products actually have been scientifically proven to work all that well, and that's sad to say. But black cohosh, the studies really haven't panned out for it. They're doing some more work on soy, so I don't think we've heard the last of the soy products yet. There's a soy derivative called S-Equal that we're looking into a little bit more to see if that might be effective. But so far, the studies have not panned out on the over-the-counter stuff. I wish they had.
What happens to us sexually? And I have to say it because it's a part of it. We all go through it. It's some kind of way, I believe, whether it, usually a diminishing that we just like, sex, I don't think so. I don't want it. No.
Well, this is a really important part of what happens to us at menopause, and I think when we don't talk about enough is the changes in sexual functioning that we can have. And there are a couple of things that happen. One is women get more vaginal dryness after menopause, and that's directly related to losing estrogen. So we get more dry, less elastic tissues around the vagina, and sex can be painful.
Yeah.
It can be not just uncomfortable, but flat out painful. Mm-hmm. And who wants to have sex if it hurts?
Right.
So one of the things that we do is we talk about this in the book. We can use over-the-counter products like a lubricant for sex or a moisturizer on a regular basis to help maintain that vaginal moisture. A lot of women, however, need some local vaginal estrogen treatment, and it comes in a cream, mm-hmm. a tablet, and a ring. And that's just for the vagina. It's not going to do a darn thing for hot flashes, only for the vagina.
Right.
But it will really help with those symptoms for mm-hmm. women who are suffering from that. But the second thing, as you mentioned, is we have that change in sexual desire,
yeah.
and we go from a more spontaneous sex drive. So we think about sex, we might initiate sex, to a more what we call responsive sex drive or willingness sexual mm-hmm. desire pattern. So meaning right time, right place, we might be willing to have sex. So this is a significant change for a lot
yeah.
of people, and a lot of couples have to adjust to what happened.
Especially for our man, yeah.
What's different? Mm-hmm. So after menopause, we may have to be a little more planful about
yeah.
sexual activity, and you might have to put a date on the calendar, you mm-hmm. know, once a week, Thursday mm-hmm. night's date night. Or so you might have to think about it a little bit more when you didn't have to do that before.
Right, right. And still, you know, still go get checked, still have your checkups, do everything. Now, I was talking with my doctor, and she says, well, you don't have to have pap smears anymore. So when you have a hysterectomy, no pap smears?
Yep. If you don't have a cervix, so think about this. This is cervical cancer screening.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you don't have a cervix, you don't have to do pap smears.
Wow.
But for all the rest of us who do have a cervix, you absolutely
yes.
do need to continue. And we typically stop at the age of 65 now
okay. mm-hmm.
if you've had normal screening up to that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is not that we care less about 65-year-olds and older. It's that even if you got – so we know cervical cancer screening is a sexually transmitted disease, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's caused by the HPV virus.
Uh-huh.
And so if you don't have that virus at 65 and we've checked you, it takes 20 years of chronic infection to develop a cancer.
Wow.
So that's why we stop screening at 65, because if you're negative, even if you had a new sexual partner and got the virus the next day, it's still going to take 20 years of chronic infection to develop a cancer.
Wow, that's amazing. That's
yeah.
amazing. So what age in I guess an average, because I remember being a little girl with my grandmother, and she was so mean, but she was so hot. She was mean. She was always fanning. I recognize now that she was going through menopause. So what age does it begin to dissipate? What does it just end? How does it end?
Well, I wish I could answer that. So, you know, some women have hot flashes for a few years and mm-hmm. they just go away. But I have plenty of women in my clinic in their mid-70s who are saying, dear heavens, when is it going to
wow.
stop? So there are people who literally hot flash for the rest of their lives. It may not be severe. It typically gets better with
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, most of us are going to have these symptoms for maybe 7 to 9 years before they peter out. But yeah, I definitely for sure have people who are pushing 80 and still having hot flashes.
Goodness. Woof.
Yeah.
That is deep.
Sorry to say.
Really, really. Do you have a website for more information?
MayoClinic.org is a
okay.
website that people can go for more information about menopause and about our women's health clinic, too.
Yeah, you've got to get the book. It is phenomenal, and it covers A to Z what to expect and the end of it, or not the end of it. But it's called The Menopause Solution, A Doctor's Guide to Relieving Hot Flashes, Enjoying Better Sex, Sleeping Well, Controlling Your Weight, and Being Happy. Dr. Stephanie Fabian is the author. Thank you so much for this great information.
Oh, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.